Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.
Hello, the Olympia! You having a good night?
Yeah.
You feeling confident we're going to beat France?
Yeah.
Not so confident we're going to beat France, but I'm glad you're having a good night. If anybody at home wants to text in any questions, 53106 the text number, or you can always tweet the show at Off the Ball. We're here tonight with thanks to Heineken Rugby Club, which allows fans to get more from the game. If you sign up, you'll get exclusive benefits such as match tickets, exclusive event invites, discounts with Ireland's top brands and more. You can join at HeinekenRugbyClub.com. We're going to preview Ireland France in a couple of minutes' time, but for now, we're joined by another Munster legend. It's Donegal Callaghan! Good evening. How are you doing? Welcome. Have a seat.
How are we? Have a seat.
So, planes, trains and automobiles for you as well. At one point, we got the message that... You were trying to scuttle onto an early flight because the late flight was cancelled.
Yeah, I tried to blag my way onto one, but there was a flight from, where was it, Barcelona cancelled, and there was a hen trying to get on it, and it was like a scene from Kill Bill. It was just incredible. It was, I actually just sat down and watched it, so it was good value. So, but yeah, I got home. Yeah, it was a bit mad, but yeah. Glad to be here.
We heard stories about you in your absence. Is there a moment where you think, I don't know this man very well, maybe I shouldn't jock Alistair Campbell?
I honestly, that's why I jocked Alistair Campbell. It's because we went on a tour and everyone, like, you chat to the English lads and they're there, oh, Alistair Campbell, and guys had different views on him. Martin Curry wanted to knock him out. You know, and I just didn't know the fella at all. I was there, who's this clone? Like, you know... Why is he any different to any one of us here? So I just thought, if he's on a rugby tour, he's getting rugby treatment. Which he didn't like at all. He was a bit of a can't-take-it at the start, but he came around.
You wore him down.
Because he's a big fan of you now.
Yeah, honestly, we get a bit of a slagging, but we're actually friendly enough. I keep in touch with him, keep in contact with him. You could not have more opposites. You know what I mean? In people. I'm smart, witty... He's dull, boring English fella. So. Sorry. This is unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah, it's class.
I genuinely think I found a second hole. Panto. We could have... We could have a brilliant panto. Woody, ugly sister.
Keep going.
Cinderella, of course. I honestly think we could do something with it, lads.
There's an agent scuttling outside. Tell us about him, will you? What was Donegal like to play with?
I'm talking about being really smart and intelligent. My first sighting of Donegal, I think I was up in the first pitch in Highfield, actually, before I got kicked off. I wasn't allowed to kick there because I played with Conn, but that's a little... I get over things, as you can see. That's only 20 years ago. I saw this kind of... Well, I wasn't too sure. Was it half horse, half human? A 14-year-old, kind of tanned fella, and then... Dunnick was doing a speed session on concrete, so in the car park. So, well... Are the audience with me or not, like, you know? So, like, the first thing you're told when you're doing speed session is you should never... it's like going to Tesco and doing it in the car park. So that was what Donegal did. That was my first memory. Donegal wanted it. Donegal really wanted to be a Munster rugby player, an Irish rugby player, and by God, did he break his balls to get there. That's how I'd sum him up. I found Donegal early on. I had a bit of a tug of love between Quinny and Donegal for roommates. But ew. I had to go the more professional route.
Which of those two is that?
Pardon? Well, no, the real reason is Quinny didn't play for Ireland very often. So it's all right, Quinny, now. Head up. Don't worry about it. So, I roomed with Donners and we didn't half slate everyone.
Yeah. The room was safe. It was the only safe spot in the place. And if you weren't in it, you got it. I must say one thing I was thankful of was the wash bag. There was many a night that I smelled well with his Vera Wang or his Locketan, or I'll be honest, I've even used his toothbrush, but I wouldn't have been attached to it till tonight. But
these aren't jokes. It's like after a while you kind of at least put the stuff back into my bag. Like, just don't leave them at the halfway house. You're like, Donners, no. But yeah, every team meeting, you could smell them coming the corridor. It's like,
I still love going into camp. I'd smell great for the 3-4 weeks, whatever we were in there.
So what's happening here, Donica? It's a picture of Tommy Bowe massaging your testicles, it seems.
I don't know what to say.
He's got pants on. For the audience at home, he's got pants on. Kind of.
Yeah. Like, honestly, like, you Google some people, like, you Google Raj and up comes that drop goal. Like, you Google me and there you go. It's that or the jocks, like.
Well, funny you mentioned that. Let's have a look at this. You know, roll it there, Roisin.
That's a pre-waxing session.
Stupid, so how clever they were playing. Oh. He doesn't even feel he's got enough time for the shorts. Jan, your analysis?
I hope he puts them on rather quickly, actually.
No, you have to watch Wally now. Watch Wally.
Keep. He's known as an eccentric individual, isn't he?
I don't really know what to say.
The referee's asking for the ball. He's not worried about the shorts.
Wally's like, I'm not listening to that.
He quite enjoy being in front, so to be honest. Forget the shorts. He's quite happy out there.
What are you actually saying to the referee here?
I don't know what soft goes in the law.
To me there, you're not in the correct uniform, and I actually just went, no shit. You know what I mean? Do you think I'd like to stand here like this? But Rog is right. If you look, it's well worth watching it back to actually watch David Wallace's face, who afterwards spoke to myself and Paul O'Connell and was convinced that it was a skit by the two of us just for a bit of fun. Like a European Cup match that we'd actually think, do you know what, Paulie, let's have a bit of a laugh there at Wally's expense.
Do you still wear Y fronts, or have you?
Yeah, I'm a jock, man. Yeah, I'm kind of jocks. Yeah, I like, yeah.
It also
you like together.
It's probably also worth mentioning too, you're getting a little taste into the mindset of David Wallace, I think, you know, just in terms of, as Dunner says, a European Cup match away, and he's kind of like looking at Donica, go, Donica, are you actually winding me up here?
Is this a conspiracy?
Just
but even Dara Hurley in it. Dara Hurley, that was his first European Cup game, and he is so clued into the call. I could have been wearing a tutu in front of me. He did not care less. This was his big chance, and he was, you know, look at this. Like, I'm just doing my job perfectly, because if I don't, Paul, he'd probably kill me.
Yeah, and of course you got an underwear contract out of it, so it all worked out for everybody.
Stop. You know what I mean? You got to give them what they want sometimes.
We had the shower photograph up a little bit earlier on too. You know, it was just I don't ever remember too many of your slightly dodgy commercial activities, Keith.
Oh, there were many.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
Not waving pipe terrible, but...
You have to have a physique to be able to do things like that.
Plus, you were saved by the black and white TVs.
Come on, Lefty.
Oh, I love it. I love it, Rod. Too easy.
Too easy.
I'll tell you what, you've been saving that one up for a while, haven't you? Yeah, no, not too many. No, not too many. But when I saw Donica come on the scene first, back to Munster, it was hard. I couldn't take him seriously. He reminded me like you know, these big kids that you would expect them to be far more mature than they are. And but what Rog actually says about wanting it, he was. Well, look, when you think about it, he played for Munster two or three years before Paulie, or played, you know, yeah. Got into the Ireland squad a couple of years before Paulie. You're the same age or thereabouts. And he was pushing his body as a young fellow when we had, you know, we were at the end of our career and we were never going to be anywhere near as fit as these guys. And he was driving himself. Second rows didn't really break in. at that stage, 24, 25.
Yeah.
Here was a young fella that had come in. He looked quite mad. He acted quite mad. We were a little bit serious, you know. I hadn't a clue what to make of him. You know, it's quite funny. I still don't have a clue what to make of him.
Yeah, it's weird because, like, Rog and Dricko are my teammates, but Woody's in a different spot. I've always been nervous around him. Like, he was even, we were chatting about it earlier, but I remember I was late for a meeting one time and Eddie O'Sullivan just said, cop on, don't leave that happen again. And then Woody tore strips off me. And
Afterwards,
on my own, just, you know, you're an Irish camp now, it's not good enough. And just, he always had that kind of nearly beyond a coach kind of, you know, relationship. And I've, like, even still, you'd be nervous around him that you would do something wrong and that Woody'd pull you up on it. But
like showing up an hour late for off the ball.
Yeah. What I do
you're
remember...
You're in for a bollocking afterwards.
What I do remember is my first Irish camp and going in and you're so nervous and you were overly nice to me and the experience tells you, no, smell a rat, you know, but stupid, naive me walked in and was, he would so nice. And he was there, do you fancy a game of table tennis? So I don't play table tennis. Oh, you'd be grand. So we started playing and it was 3-0 up to Woody and all of a sudden people started coming from everywhere. And I didn't know there was a house rule in Irish camp that if you beat someone 11-0, they had to run from the gates of the Glenview with their arse out all the way up to camp. And Woody got it to, I think it was 10-0, and then he double-faulted. And I got left off. And he didn't do that to be nice. He just had a shocker that moment. So I remember kind of thinking, oh, what a really nice man. And then 20 minutes later, I was there, watch him like a hawk.
Were you often the victim of pranks? Didn't Paul O'Connell spot a brilliant, like, because you're the consummate pro, the isometric core enhancer?
I was out of camp at the time, and Paulie knew I was looking for anything that would give you an edge. Like, honestly, I'm not as talented as the lad, so I had to work harder, and I would look for anything to compete and be at the same level. So the lads were up in camp, and they were just bored to tears. So Paulie and I think Frankie Sheen sent me a text saying, the physios had just brought in this brilliant thing. It's called an isometric core enhancer. They just made up a product, which...
It sounds very good.
It sounds brilliant. Like, it's incredible. So I replied back, have you used it? What's it like? He's there, kid, it's unbelievable for your core. So he was there, I was there, what's the damage for it? And he was there, 70 quid, I was there, done. So I gave him all my my bank details, and then...
So, that's the key mistake.
Yeah, it was, because he started sending flowers then to, like, my coaching...
Don't I get in the shower, just appear on stage?
I'll sign that for you after, kid.
Is that enhanced? Is that a natural tan?
That one is, yeah.
Jesus.
I have a tan. I promise I don't use sunbeds. Oh, lads, come here. Give us a break, like. Enough.
We were supposed to be talking about the Munster culture and how you ended up winning two Heineken Cups and, you know, putting the railings out for climbing Mount Everest, but we got sidetracked here, which is okay, you know?
I apologise. There's half those photos I regret badly.
Only half?
Yeah,
I don't know that. I think when you have these two guys in particular who have the gold medals that sit around their neck, you can easily get back to the Munster winning ways very, very comfortably. I remember watching Rog, and, you know, as I said earlier on, Rog and Stringer were just too small physically, I thought. And then you see them play, and then you see what they're able to do. And I remember Rog at the start, missing kicks and, you know, young out half, and watching his reaction to missing it, and watching him mentally and how he would gauge with different things and deal with different things. And I don't even know if this is true. I'd be interested to ask. I've never had this one. I've watched you take kicks from the touchline, pressure kicks, and thinking in your own head that you see those almost as easy ones, and some of the harder ones were the ones in the middle. When you were starting, yeah, you just looked like, if it was out in the wing, whether it was people won't expect me to do this, well, I'd bloody do it despite them, maybe, or for whatever it was. But I always thought the more difficult the kick, the more you'd be willing to put your money on him putting it over.
Is that a question or a statement for me? No, sorry. At the start, I think it's a trial and error, and I'd agree with you, because if you're outside the 15s, so in a kicker's mentality, basically, you shouldn't be missing between, goal post. You have a 15-yard line on the right-hand side, 15-yard line on the left-hand side. You're not allowed to miss in between those zones, you know. So that's the way you train the mind. So you had a radius of that. So it's just when you're working, if you miss from there, you have to restart everything. And then outside of it, most definitely at the start, there would have been pressure off, and it's a different mindset. But then I got to a stage where after, I'd say, a two-year period of every kick is your first kick, and I found myself missing my first kick a lot. I think you remember in Twickenham, I think, 15 metres in front of the post at the right-hand side, and I hopped it off the left-hand post, and I think it got touch, which isn't a great start for your team or yourself. But then you just kind of got into the routine of it. And then I just said that I just kind of got, I suppose, confident. And confidence in sport, it can never, for me, it's the crucial ingredient. And players who have 100 caps can lose confidence. Even in today's game, in the modern game, you'll see that. It's fellas like Dan Carter can lose confidence, which is interesting because for me, he's the greatest of all time. So I just kind of, I don't know, were you listening to me off stage? Were you when you were backstage? When I was in Greece and I rang you after the New Zealand tour in 2002, and when you gave me a very important, I suppose, mental lesson, and I just put building blocks in that. And then it got to the stage where, you know, I was a little bit, I suppose, whatever the way it was, I needed the pressure, I think, at the end of my career, and that's what, after a while, got the juices flowing.
But does it become harder now, do you think? Because the game was only just professional when you started, you then get to the position where you're confident and you can do it. But not everything went your way. Like for all of us, when you start off, things don't go your way. Is it harder now where you're expected to be the real deal on the day you step out in Ireland jersey or a red jersey for Munster?
It goes back to what Joe was asking earlier, the fact that hopefully you reach a decent level, and with that comes expectancy, and the crowd expect you to kick it, and that's a lovely feeling to have from people, but with that comes responsibility, with that comes preparation, with that comes work rate. So everyone will give you an off day, but you won't get two off days, otherwise they'll start questioning you and they'll want someone else on the team. So to do that for a period of whatever it was, 10-12 years, that was the thing that made me, I suppose, really, really happy, was the consistency of performance that I got from the learnings and the initial stages of international rugby.
And can you communicate that fairly simply now? You can explain that process to people. So when you're coaching, not Dan Carter, but maybe Dan Carter, but more than likely the younger out halves or other players who are going through that process, can you explain all that now fairly simply?
Do you know what, I stay a million miles away from it. It's probably one of the strangest things you'll hear tonight, but I don't really get involved in kicking. I wait.
Even that process, though, of somebody not.
Yeah, if I saw a fella in front of me there and then, I mean, but I don't really have any interest in the metrics or the physics of kicking.
That's a psychological thing that you're talking about, though.
Yeah, sorry.
So, yeah, and so does that work for defence? Does that work for attack?
Yeah, exactly, it does. Yeah, I think you have to have key triggers and everything. And that is the kind of thing that I suppose now that really interests me, the coaching side of it, is the buzz or the fulfillment you get out of it in the odd day that you see 15 players doing exactly something that you wanted to do. Like, there's massive satisfaction in that, a lot greater actually than an individual satisfaction.
I'm always struck by, and every time I hear you talk about it and hearing it now, and like, yes, there's hard work and yes, there's repetition and you know, the mental stuff that you have to go through, but there is still that passion when you talk about stepping over a kick or playing a game. Are you comfortable not playing now at this stage?
Yeah, and it was really a struggle for 18 months. It was really difficult, I think, transitioning, but I moved on to something that I really wanted to do, and that's why I think when I was kind of in and out of the Irish team at the end, it was really valuable because I was loving the fact of, I was lucky enough to play for a long time as the starting 10, and then you lose your place, and then you lose your place even on the bench. So, but like, the key to any squad is numbers 23 to 33. Yeah. That decides how well you're going to go. And I suppose the biggest thrill I got in a long, long time was being involved in the game in the new camp. It seems like 10 years ago, considering the season we're having this season, Racing, but like, I don't know, because I don't live here, but I don't know what it was like, but you know what I mean, going to the new camp for anything, even for a stadium visit, is interesting. Yeah. To actually go down to 14 men and win a final, it's like, that's I'm pretty lucky, really lucky.
You've, Donica, clearly wanted to keep playing for as long as possible. How are you doing? How's the body?
Yeah, body's really good. I'm playing because I love it. You know, and it's funny, you chat to the lads and you chat to your teammates. I think if I wasn't enjoying it and it was a pain to be putting on my boots, and like, granted, November there when you're going out to double rugby and it's mauling and scrummaging for the next hour, there is times you're there, Jeannie, you know, hanging them up wouldn't be a bad call, but I'm still driven to play well, and like, Worcester's been a different type of challenge, I suppose. When I went over, you know, I had different ideas of how well we were going to push on, but we haven't done that. And then it's so interesting to see mindset and mentality of, you know, when it's not going all so well, how people kind of, you know, I think we were very lucky with the dressing rooms I've been in, fellas pulled together, but sometimes that doesn't always happen.
Yeah. And because Ronan's spoken about even being in France, and you've realised things about the Irish dressing room and the Munster dressing room which were so brilliant that maybe aren't necessarily there. You seem to have found the same thing, so you've almost realised how special the dressing rooms you've come from were.
It's very hard to kind of put it together when you think of, like, just Worcester. England's a big place, you know, there's loads of foreigners in our place, but also a young boy from Birmingham compared to a young lad from Newcastle and London, they're all so different. Whereas you compare, you know, you compare a boy from Tipperary and Cork, there's not a whole lot really between them, you know. It just, so I found that just mad, that the different cultures and trying to gel that. I think man management is incredible in the game now and really has to be something top priority for coaches. And yeah. I don't know, I haven't chatted to Roger about it, but he probably sees it in France, where it's an awful lot of foreign players and an awful lot of guys from different cultures.
Yeah, it is. It's like a different sport. It's you have to go over there to live it. It's such a different experience.
You went to town on them after the Munster game. Like, napalm.
No, journal, come on, for a respected top quality journalist like that, rephrase that. it's the same thing, like, about inaccuracies about the Queen. I didn't go to town on them. I said you'd have to have a look at the players you're recruiting. And I think you look at the age profile of the Munster players and how effective they were. Jeez, if you think that's going to town, come on over sometime. Well. But no, it's interesting what Donica says. I think, like, the guy is a freak, but what has happened, I think, because Donica's in his mid-30s, There's no one prepares like him. There's no one as professional as him. Perception has changed him, but he's still knocking it out, because I watch a lot of rugby. He was never the greatest carrier of the ball, but if you want a guy for work rate or to hit 50 rucks a game and to do 15 tackles, like, that's your man, you know what I mean? And I'm obviously biased. But it's... You have to come to France, because it's the one country where they kind of appreciate age. You yeah. actually probably be mid. You'll only be middle-aged in our club anyway. We like a good elderly 30 to 42-year-old.
So you're not going to stop playing anytime soon, are you? Like, or are you?
I'll be honest, the biggest strain at the moment is family-wise. My family are at home in Cork, so I'm over and back between yeah. it. And that's what it'll be. It'll be a family decision. I can ask for nothing more out of rugby. I've had brilliant days. I've loved it. And if this is my last season, then, it's been great.
But you could ask for a career as a coach or, like, that it seems to be that you're slightly addicted to the game. You really love it.
Yeah, no, I'll be honest. If some people are made for coaching roles. I'm not. I would hate it.
Why?
You have to be spiky. You have to be, willing to take guys' heads off. And
do you, though? Is there not a man management side of this as well that is actually, look, I played here, 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 and here. This is what I've learned about culture. And either you have it or you don't. And if you don't, off you go. Thanks very much. But these guys do have it, and I'm going to spend my time with them.
Yeah, I definitely think there's a place for it. Especially with
younger players now who are kind of not willing to accept the spiky...
Yeah, for me, with younger players, definitely. I would think that is more role I'm suited to. But I just... Everyone's in a rush to make it now. You look at the guys in our place, they're like... Your window was shorter, and Rod and Drico would have seen it. When we came in... To be fair, you had longevity because it wasn't competition for places. But guys in our place, no, they play badly and they're gone. One bad match and they're gone. A contract gone, academy contract gone. It's that ruthless a sport. And, you've guys travelling from, Tonga, Samoa. We've a South African at the moment, just didn't work out from heading home. So it's going down that soccer route. I've noticed a massive change in the game in the last 2 years, both physically... And just in the kind of way it's going, kind of off the pitch as well.
What's the thing you're happiest with that you've improved upon as a coach? And what's the big thing you want to try and improve upon?
That's a big question. I don't think they're very related, if any way related. So I'm very much finding my feet. But I would have certain principles that are really important to me in terms of... I suppose how you'd want your group to operate and take
culture.
Most definitely culture, but within that then your behaviours and I suppose your values. And that was really easy from where I came from, I think, because of what was passed on from the Munster players before me. And then you get to learn that everyone is different in their own right. I think the example for me would be someone like Simon Zeebo. I think I struggled when I was a player with him at the start because I felt like he wasn't putting it in, but I was completely wrong. He just had a different way of doing it, and that's what you learn as you go along. And everyone is different. Just because you do it your way doesn't mean it's the right way. So that's really, really important, and everyone prepares differently. But that's the management side of it. Then I love the kind of tactical side of it too. I think that's really interesting. But the what's nearly as important is having a good staff.
Sure.
Because you're going to get tested, and it's the same as anything in life. I think if you don't have a loyal staff or loyal values, you're going to get. Pretty much thrown off the boat, so it's not a nice place to be. And I think there's so much untapped potential in teams. That's the challenge.
Are you approaching the point now where if the right head coach opportunity came
along,
nowhere near it?
No chance. I'm what, 3.5 years into a new career. You wouldn't see, I don't know, there's probably exceptions to the rule, but sure. Someone that I admire would be John O'Gibbs, I think. John O'Gibbs is 10 years as an assistant coach, and now he's gone under a director of rugby. There are different ways of doing it, but the most important thing is that A, are you valued? B, do you have an input? C, are you learning and who are you learning from? And I can answer yes and no to some of those questions.
Right, I want to just bring Brian O'Driscoll back out because we're going to talk about the game. So ladies and gentlemen, Brian O'Driscoll. We do have to preview this match. But before we do...
I was making space wrinkle.
Typical Raj. More breaking news in the form of a tweet tonight. McCurra, at McCurra1 tweets, at I am Austin Healy. I see at Brian O'Driscoll gave you a box or two for mouthing off at Ronan O'Gara. Not like you to be mouthy. And then Austin Healy comes back straight away and goes, total myth. We'll fix that. Don't worry. We're going to fix that. So, Brian, you're welcome back. This game, the team is named pretty much as we expected. The bench has been beefed up in terms of the physicality of the subs as well. It seems like Joe Schmidt expects this to be fairly similar to the World Cup game where the two teams are going to kill each other. A bit of that kind of stuff going on. Is that the gouge? That's not the gouge on Stephen Ferris, is it? It's a different gouge.
No, yeah. That's not a gouge.
It's an enormous French team. I think they've put a real focus on their set piece. I think their scrum looked particularly strong. Slimini's in instead of Antonio, better scrummager. And even though they have a couple of injuries, you know, I think they're replacing like for like. So the weather looks as though it's going to be manky enough at the tail end of this storm. I looked and 7 points is the spread, and it's kind of hard to argue with that. It feels as though...
All right, you make Ireland favourites, yeah.
Ireland will edge it, but I think it'll be a tight game. But I think Ireland have played the worst game they're going to play in the Six Nations against Scotland. I feel as though they're going to grow into it more, and they might still have something at stake on Paddy's weekend.
Yeah, okay, so there's a chance that England might screw up somewhere?
No, I don't think they're going to screw up. They potentially could only need a losing bonus point to still get the championship, but that's no good to them. They'll do a job on Italy, obviously. Yeah. They'll trash Italy this weekend. They should beat Scotland. Scotland are starting to... Their strength and depth will be questioned after another game against Wales. Yeah. They're going to lose another player or two, probably. And they just don't have the same calibre to come in. So I think England will be far too strong for them in Twickenham. So they will be playing for a Grand Slam in Dublin on the 18th of March. It's just a matter of whether Ireland have a championship to play for in beating them. And probably denying them a losing bonus.
Absolute brutal it'll be on the weekend if the wind is still blowing, if it's wet. Having Johnny back on the side means you would say we're tactically far more experienced than we have been over the last couple of weeks, which is hard on Paddy Jackson. But right and realistic, I would say, especially for this test. Look, you said we've already played our bad game. We were so far off the mark on that first weekend, and yet we could have won very well and with 15 minutes to go and didn't. So we're far sharper last week. It's exactly how accurate we are first 20, 25 minutes. Not for the same reasons of the past,
yeah,
but for different reasons, because we need to be able to get our own confidence up and right and focused and capable and do the right things well. I think Johnny being picked will... I can't say ensure that that'll happen, but I think that leadership is unbelievably important in the game.
Tonica, what do you think is going to happen?
Yeah, I think we have to play it. I know you can't compare the Italian match, but we have to play at that type of tempo. I think if we sit in an arm wrestle against France, we're in big trouble. You know, they're just so big, strong, and if we play that slow tempo game that they probably want to play... For me personally, I've just watched the two games. I haven't studied them or looked at them overly, but I can't really see a whole lot of structure in the French game. I know they're trying to play a bit more, but I can't see a type of pattern. And the lads probably know better because I put my head between asses and push, and that's my job. But I can't really spot a shape, and I don't know what they're at. So,
Is there a shape emerging over this couple of games, or maybe including the November internationals for this French team?
Yeah, I think there is. I think they have a lot of good individuals. We all know that, I think. I don't know, I'd be interested in your views, Brian, but I think for me, Lamraz, he's having too many errors, but I think he's ready to explode. I think he's an excellent rugby player. I like him with Fiku. I'd like to see Doolan in the team. For me, the biggest, I suppose, or interesting aspect is if France have a chance if they halve their penalty count. So they're averaging probably 13, 15 penalties a game. It's not possible to win a test match. But if they were to halve it, I think they could put it up to Ireland.
How do they go about doing that, though? Sorry.
That's really interesting for me because I feel that it's something that cannot arrive when your heart rate has gone over 190 beats per minute in a test game. That has to be worked minimum for a 3-week period under the duress of high intensity sessions, and I believe that's a feature of the Irish setup at the minute, that Joe Schmidt has yellow cards in his pocket and he brandishes them and changes fellas in and out in high tempo games. And you know, I think it's a well worn out fact at this stage, but the 4-3-4 penalty count, was it, is quite astonishing against the two best nations in the world that Ireland are conceding. So how do you score against Ireland? Where do you get your cheap points?
From lineouts, it turns out, the Scotland games.
Yeah, well, if you tune into RT, I said that actually the game in Scotland would be difficult, as I think Cardiff will be difficult as well, but I think we'll win the two home games.
No one's watching RT, they're all on ITV. Okay.
I actually watched the game back on RT, and I was listening to some of the punditry and some of the comments. I would have to say I disagree with you a little bit about Lopez. I don't think.
Oh, I didn't say anything about Lopez. Sorry.
On the weekend, the France Scotland game, I thought Lamera. You said no about Lopez. That you said that he was giving them no direction. I have to say I disagree. I think he is pulling strings pretty well. I think he's playing really flat on the line when they're going forward. And the Fiku try, I think he was first receiver 7 or 8 times in that sequence of play. So he's offering himself. Yeah, he missed one kickable goal that he should have knocked over, but I think he knocked over the rest of them. So I think he has become a big player. I think that half-back partnership is exciting with Seran, and they'll need to keep an eye on the two of them because Seran has the ability to pull defences apart as well. I think he's an edgy nine. He's the sort of guy that you'd love to have in your team. So I think that'll be a huge contest. Obviously, as Woody said, with Johnny back, I think we look like a better oiled machine. I think he is the conductor of things. Paddy has done a terrific job, but he facilitates others really shining, whereas I think Johnny really pulls all the strings, and he's the sort of player that it doesn't really matter that he hasn't had a lot of game time. I think he can come in and seamlessly fit into the team and pick up where he left off. So I think that's massively where the battle is going to go on. As much as it goes on in the pack, I think the halfback pairings will be really interesting this weekend.
All right, we're moments away from the best part of the night, and that's the quiz, but I need predictions from you all before we get to that. Who's going to win?
I think Ireland will win. I think Ireland by hopefully 12 points.
Okay.
Oh, good man, Woody, save me.
Do we top that, do we? No, I think Ireland by 4 or 5 points. That's about it. A bit of a dogfight.
Yeah, I'm the same on that. I think Ireland will edge it. But because of the conditions, I think if it was a bit drier, I'd probably go with Dunners. I've had a really good feeling. But then looking at that forecast is going to have a big impact. They're so huge, and their line speed has improved. And they're collision winners kind of. That I think we're going to need a lot of quick feet on the line. I think, you know, guys like Stander and Sean O'Brien are going to need a bit more than just being battering rams. I think we're going to need a little bit of deception with tip-on passes, just make it a little bit easier for ourselves to get over the advantage line. And because of the conditions, I think we will get by, but the bookies aren't far away at 7.
Yeah, I think Ireland will win. If it is going to be wet, then I think maybe it might increase Ireland's chances because I think there could be mayhem at the ruck in the French interpretation of what's a ruck and what's a tackle. I don't think they understand the difference. No, because it's very complicated nowadays.
But how is that ref different? Like, why is that in their culture? What allows that to happen to French rugby?
Because you have 7 games every weekend from 7 different referees over a period of 26 weeks. So there's very little consistency in adjudicating.
Right. Nigel owns this weekend.
Yeah.
And like, obviously Nigel likes to play it open. But he, at the same time, what Rog was talking about with our penalty count over the last year or so, referees study that too, and they know that Ireland are a team that don't concede a lot of penalties. So straight away, you know, you're in his good books. Just have to show a good picture, particularly in messy conditions. Make it as clear-cut as you possibly can for him, to not penalise you and show that they're infringing.
Okay, so that's a full house for Ireland. What do you guys think? Has your confidence grown over the course of the evening?
Yeah.
That's because you're all had a couple of Heinekens. We are moments away from Ronan and Brian going head-to-head on a drop-go challenge, which also involves the other two lads as extras. We haven't tried this one out yet, so we don't know if it's going to work or not. But we're here tonight with thanks to Heineken Rugby Club, which allows fans to get more from the game. If you sign up, you'll get exclusive benefits such as match tickets, exclusive event invites, discounts with Ireland's top brands, and much more. Join HeinekenRugbyClub.com. Join us for the Heineken Clubhouse Crappy Quiz version next.
Off the Ball.
Home of Wednesday Night Rugby with Woody and Jerry.
On News Talk 106 to 108.